Welcome to the Aspire Community Church podcast. Join us today as we explore biblical insights for demonstrating the love of God. We pray this message brings you encouragement. You can visit us online at aspirecc.com or follow us on social media at aspireccva. Now on to today's message.
Are you worth the salt? Are you worth the salt? Read with me Matthew 5. We're going to be reading 13 to the 16th verse. 13 to the 16th verse. And I'm going to tell you the reason why we're reading this after I read it. And we're reading today from the New Living Translation, I think it is, right? NLT, New Living Translation. And it reads, it says, "You are the salt of the earth." I'm going to pause right there. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. 14th verse says, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word today. Amen. How do we start off? We started off with that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think it is, yeah, 6 words. You are the salt of the earth. For about a month and a half, I've been hearing this word. And about a month and a half, it's everywhere I would go, I kept hearing in my spirit, he was telling me, and I think he was just telling the people of the church to be salt, to just be. You know, you can be so many different things, right? When he's saying be salt, he told me, I got this right around the same time. You guys know I was kind of complaining about my job. And I was in my prayer, the Lord revealed to me that I asked for the job, right? So why complain about it when you ask for it? And around that same time, he told me, he said, this is when he said, you need to just be salt. And he told me, stop complaining. It's time to be what you were meant to be. Be. Everybody say be. I got a couple of people. Thank you. Thank you. Be. In this passage, what we find is that Christ is, he is telling his audience, he says, he told them, this is what you are. You are the salt of the earth. Ooh, not just of the little region and area that he's in. He said, you're the salt of the whole earth. Now, when you think about salt, I know you went to the table salt, right? Thinking about that little white stuff that you put on your in your salt shaker. Some of them use Morton and things of that nature. But here, what he's doing, he's using a metaphor of something that they were very familiar with. His audience understood the properties of salt and his usage at that time. It was plentiful, but yet rare. It was rare because salt had to be, you know, excavated. They had to like get it and they had to process it, separate, you know, the dirt and impurities from it. And not many people had the skill set to do that. So the value of salt at that time was very high. In fact, did you know that there were times when the Roman soldier was given salt as a wage. Salt was considered very, very valuable. The funny thing about it was that if a soldier didn't do a good job, people would say that he wasn't worth his salt. You heard that phrase before? You're not worth your salt. That's where we get the term salary from. And this is the name for the salt payment. And the word is selenium, selenium, S-A-L-A-R-I-U-M, selenium. So salt in payment, I guess, the payment, you know, that's where they get that term from. So let me ask you this question. How would you like being paid out of all the work that you've done? How many years, right? They give you salt. Salt. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this today? This is what God wants us to know. He wants you to know that you're valuable. You are valuable. You're so valuable to God. Now, while you may not be a unit of, while you're not a unit of exchange, the quality of salt that you represent is of high value. It's so high. You are extremely valuable in God's eyes. I want you to think about this. Your value to him is not determined because of what you have or what you do. It's not, that's not how he bases your value to him. Your value is because you are his most prized possession. In God's eyes, you are the greatest resource that he has placed here on earth. Think about it. You're the only part of creation that was formed by his hand. Remember, he said he formed you from the dust of the earth. You are the only part of creation that he breathed the breath of life into. He didn't do it for the animals. You didn't read where he told the hippopotamus, open your mouth, let me breathe some life. No. He did that only for mankind. You are the only part of creation that he sent his son to die for. You are so valuable. All of this because God sees you as valuable. What he's saying is that you matter. You matter. Your life matters, and God sees the value in you. Yeah? He sees the value in you. So he says to you, he's saying to you, be salt. I need you to be salt in the earth. Jesus, in this passage, he's sitting there. Matthew 5, he's teaching them on the mount. He's on the side of the mount. And this is that famous passage where he starts off with the beatitude. And he's teaching them a lot of things. Sometimes I think we get caught up in some of the messages that we hear, church and all of that. We hear so much. And I think we really treat God like a genie at times, if I'm just being honest. Because people expect God to do so much and so quickly. You know, Lord, I need you right now to work this thing out while I'm sitting here in this car lot, and I need you to give me the type of not only the down payment that I need, but I need the monthly payment to be a certain thing. And Lord, I know I didn't talk to you about it yesterday or the week before, but I need this thing right now. And I need it right now. God don't always work that way. He doesn't always work that way. He was encouraging me, say, you got to stop moping. Stop moping around as a Christian. You're valuable. You're too valuable for that. Stop complaining. Stop weeping and all of those things. Be who you are. What are you? You are salt. You're the most valuable thing that I've placed on the earth, particularly if you are a follower of God. What do he need you to do? This is going to be one of them short messages. He needs you to start being. Just be. He put you here to add value. Think about the properties of salt. What does it do? It not only does it preserves, right? You can put something on it. Like if you have a wound, they put salt on it. It would keep you and keep the impurities out. What else would salt do? You know, it had flavor to your food. Did you know, I didn't know until I started looking at this, that there is more types of salt than that one that we typically use on our table. You know, I just found out not too long ago, we're talking about sea salt. We call it sea salt. That's some good stuff. But did you know, it was just interesting. I was in my office and this young lady came in and she was asking questions. I don't even know how we got on the subject, but she said, did you know that there is pink salt? I said, pink? Yeah. Had no idea. There's all types of different salts. And you know, in different types of properties that go along, what it does, it heals. There's some salt up there that I didn't know that will lower your blood pressure instead of raising it. He says, so I put you here to add value. Think about it. Wherever you are in life, where on your job and the house that you're in, the home, the family that you have, I put you there to add value. I put you there to preserve life. I put you there to spice things up, add some flavor. You're not just there because you're going through chaos and disruption of life. You're there for a specific reason. There's something about your personality. It's something about your character that I need you to be in that space. And that's what he was showing me. He said, you're there at the job that I gave you. He said, if you think about it, all of the things that they have said when they come in, Mr. Ross, the whole temperature changes when you're not here. You cannot leave and not let us know that you won't be here. I was like, wow, I didn't know I had that effect on people. We don't know how you affect people in your circle. You're there. I was thinking about you. You came across my mind, Brother Jerome. And I was thinking about you while I was looking at you. Said, you know, you're in the job that you're in because he needed you to be salt. All of those young people around you, their parents and their grandparents. Your temperament comes in. It's like a calming nature. And they feed off of that. I'm just so glad Mr. Douglas is here with us today. He said, I need you to be that salt. Today, we're just going to focus in on that one part, salt. I'm going to come back next week and we're going to talk about the light part. Is that okay? Yes. I know I jumped right in it. But what does he need you to do? Wherever you are, if you're in the grocery store, I know you went there to get some food for your family, but he needs you to be salt. He needs you to, he has you right there because somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. Yesterday, my wife and I, we were at an event. We had a table up and we had our little stuff out. And, you know, people were coming by. We were intentional about trying to be, she didn't know it. I didn't say it this way, but Lori was intentional and I was intentional. We didn't say we were going to be intentional, but we was intentional about adding value to the person that come by our table. I'm not letting you walk by without, hey, come here. Let me talk to you. Why? Because he put us here for that purpose. Now, like I said, we have a tendency of taking salt. What do we do with it? We put it in a salt shaker. Salt isn't as plentiful for us today because we have all of the tools that we can extract it with. Amen. And that's what we do. We use it for our food. We know that if we use specific type of salt, that table salt that we have, it's mixed, I think, with iodine. That is the salt. That is the troubling salt. That's the salt that will raise your blood pressure. That's the salt that will cause strokes that we should avoid. All of the other type of salt, there's so many other good properties about it until we don't even realize. Did you know that everything, it seems like the Americans do, we go and we get the real cane sugar, we bring it here, we process it, we put artificial stuff to it, and then we eat it and we're trying to figure out why we're dying. We use the type of salt, you know, we use salt for a variety of reasons, for defrosting ice, but the truth is that the value of salt cannot remain in the shaker. We think it's the most valuable thing while it's in that shaker on the table, but really what we have to do, we have to take that salt shaker and we have to put it on something. It has to be spread out. Salt is better when it's released. And you know what? It has to make contact. You can't just say, you can't put salt in the next to the steak and expect for the steak to get, you know, seasoned. It needs to be added to it. You're not going to preserve the meat if you don't put the salt on it. Listen, that's why he has us sprinkled around in these various places, because he needs you to be the salt. Salt can't season, it can't preserve, it can't disinfect, it can't be used as an offering, it can't display its real value until it comes out of that salt shaker. In other words, I need you to come out of that house. I need you to come out of your shell. I need you to, you know, your personality that says, oh, I don't know how to do that. No, I just need you to stand in a place and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Another way of thinking about it is that salt is designed. It's designed, like I said, to be spread out all over the place. Question I have for you today, are you salty? Are you salty? Now, I'm not talking about the bitterness, godly salt. Are you salty? Didn't you know you needed to be salty for God? I'm talking about in a good sense now. And you can't have a bad attitude. You can't walk around being angry, but you're coming around with good properties. Good properties. I want to take you to another thought. Now, this thought may seem random, and it's easy to jump, you know, right into this little passage about being salt. It's easy because it sounds great. We can build these great messages around it. But I think what Christ was doing in this passage was giving us a picture of the worth of salt. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to really look at it. Let's go to a different verse. Let's go up to the 11th verse. Here, what he's doing, he's showing us how salt it was used in his hand, or how it can be used in his hand. Now, I just want to warn you, it's not easy, but we can see the wealth in it. We can see the wealth of its usage in this passage. So follow with me. 11, it said, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Now, the New King James Version reads a little bit different, right? What does it say? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute, say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. You see how it reads a little bit different? Why? Because you're my followers. You're my followers. They persecute me, you say. They take advantage of me. They take my kindness and they look at it as weakness. You ever experienced that? Anybody take your kindness for weakness? They take advantage of me. They say that they are with me, but behind my back, they're talking about me. They're utilizing me. Sometimes I feel like I'm just a rug or a stepping stone, that when people come in my life, they're just using me. He says, look, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and they treat you with evil and they seem like they're taking advantage of you. God blesses you. And the reason why he's blessing you is because you're salt worthy. You're worth the salt. A little bit more. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Remember, they were persecuted in the same way. What he was telling us was that the prophets who were persecuted because they were worth the salt. The wage that I'm giving them is of extreme value. They were worth the salt. Jeremiah, the prophet, he suffered because the people of God had turned their backs on God. Jeremiah suffered all kinds of abuse and trials, although he was a faithful prophet to God. And like most prophets, Jeremiah was despised and abused. But we are reading about Jeremiah today because he was worth the salt. He got the job done. Now, I know you weren't really wanting me to make it nice and cushiony for you, that you would end up, amen, in a big house on the hill and you're driving the finest car. The Lord is giving you all the comfort, but that's not what he said. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, I'm going to warn you that they're going to revile you and they're going to persecute you. They're going to talk about you, all manners of evil about you. Why? Because you're worth the salt. I need you to be salty. I need you to be worth the salt that I've paid for you. Think about it. I paid the price for you. I let them put a crown of thorns on my head for you. I let them pierce me in my side that the blood would run down for you. I bore the whole world. You know, they nailed me to a cross. I did all of that. Remember that it said Jesus paid it all. He did it all that for you. There are other prophets, Habakkuk. There's so many different things that we can go down the list. And we're reading about them. Why? Because they were worth the salt. They were worth the salt. The question is, worth your salt? That's interesting, huh? When you're there, do you allow God to use you? It may not be easy. They may talk about you. They may ignore you when you need help. You know how you're the one that you're always there to provide for people and to lift them up. But then when the tables have turned and you're looking for somebody to be a strong arm, somebody to hold your arms up, they can't be found. You ever been in that situation? Why? Because God said, I need you, though, to be in this world. You are the salt of the earth. You're following me. And look, if I suffered, unfortunately, you would suffer too. You're going to suffer too. Are you worth the salt? Are you worth your salt? Are you worth your salt? The passage, it reads, it says, you are the salt of the earth, the 13th. Then it says, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can salt lose its flavor? Can salt go bad? The answer is yes and no. It can't really go bad. Natural salt without any additives can never go bad. It can't go bad. But that salt that we put on our table, that has additives and it's a certain combination that it only has a 5-year shelf life. And it will lose its taste. It will lose its flavor. Table salt with the additives can lose flavor and the texture over time. These additives degrade over time, which is why table salt, like I said, has an approximate 5 years of shelf life. And the exposure to moisture and metal ions cause taste to just degrade and break down. And he's like, oh, I can't taste that. You ever get salt that is clumped up together? We don't even realize, in the same sense, spiritually, we lose our saltiness when we think too highly of ourselves at times. That's why Christ, he shared the lists that we know as the Beatitude. And he was saying, look, hold on to this list, because if you hold on to it, you would never lose your saltiness. What list? He said, blessed you are if you're poor in the spirit. Look, remember to stay poor in the spirit. What is the poor? What does that mean? That means that I have a total dependency upon God. He says, blessed you are if you mourn. What does that mean? Look, you got to stay humble. Mourning is lamenting, is staying in prayer, is seeking God when you need God's help. He says, blessed are the meek. The meek is the humble one. You got to stay low and lowly. Hello. Blessed are those who hunger. And look, you do these things, you will always stay salty. Hunger and thirst, not after any old thing, but righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Give mercy so that you can receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. That was the last one, for righteousness. What do you think is going to happen by being a salt in the earth? You're going to be persecuted. And you know what? People are going to throw you out and they're going to walk over you. So he's saying, be salty. Be salty. I need you to be salt. I need you to be salt. Be the salt of the earth. Be salt in your home. Be salt on the job. Be salt when you go to the grocery store or the laundromat. Be salt when you go to Target, or was it a Target or Walmart? be sought. You're there because God wanted you to be sought. Next week, we're going to talk about how you're the light. He's going to tell you, you got to be seen. You can't hide. Be sought. In closing, very simple close. Let's read a passage of scripture. Mark 49 and 50. He said, everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Sacrifice. We talked about it a little bit last week. You got to be willing to go in places that you normally wouldn't go. I don't think we really realize that we're here to serve God. We're not just here just to receive the hand of God. Amen. And all of the blessings that flow from his hand. We're here to serve. We're here that he can use us any way that he wants to use us, just like he used the prophet. He laid Jeremiah, amen, in a tough situation. He had to tell them the truth. They didn't like him for that. They kept putting him in the prison. It goes on to say, salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will it season? How will you season it? Have salt. Where? In yourselves. In other words, think up. You're more valuable than what you think you are. Have salt in yourself, yet know that God sees you for who you are. He loves you. And he said, look, and you can go back and read the Beatitudes. There's blessings that follow each one of those. If you're poor in the spirit, right? He said, you're going to get things for happening. The kingdom of God belongs to you. There's always the blessing of God with you. He says, have salt in yourself. And you know what? And have peace with one another. How do you know you're salty? When you go around people, you find peace. Not because you found bitterness or anger or wrath. How do you know? It's when you found peace. The peace, they want to be around you. You may not want to be around them, but they want to be around you. Don't look at yourself and nothing else but what God looks at you. You're so valuable to him. You have his breath. You have his integrity. Everything that is in him, he breathed in you. And you know why? Because you have the Holy Spirit. Ah, hallelujah. Right there, that's enough to make you go, ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have given me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. You say, well, no, I don't want to live for God. That's okay. If you ever accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, you have to yield yourself to God. Yield to his call for you to be sought. Next week, we're going to talk about the light part. The light part. Anybody salty today? Are you worth your salt? Are you worth it? That's the question I have for you. Are you worth the salt? Thank you.